Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, three-time All-Pro left tackle David Bakhtiari. Go right now and vote for him for the Pro Bowl this season. Deserves it. A lot of those guys on the offensive line do. David Bakhtiari joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. David, appreciate the time. Congrats on 10 wins. That's one of the benchmarks, right?
Absolutely. What I was taught ever since I got in the NFL was you can start talking about the playoffs once you get to 10 wins.
Okay, so now we can start asking you, how does it feel to be in the driver's seat for a first-round bye? How nice would that be, feel for David Bakhtiari and the rest of that crew?
Rewarding. I think, I go back and forth with if I like it or not because of rest. But, if your team's healthy, really the main positive that comes from it is a guarantee to get to the second round of playoffs.
You know, I can't figure out you guys' team. I guess I should say I can't figure out the offense. I mean, clearly it was about Aaron Jones. I mean, that guy is just awesome. He's dynamite, man. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you guys do stuff, but I don't know. It just feels like I'd like to see more of that, and we just don't get that all the time.
I don't really know how to respond to that. I think Aaron's awesome. I agree with you. If I have to guess and play outsider looking in, I think one of the main things is the reason why he is so good is because we, keep him fresh, so to speak. You know, we're not wearing him down too much because he isn't the biggest back out there, and he is more of a slashing type player. Playing running back and lethal, like in the run game. And if you were to, really run this guy down, like a big back, he could have some wear and tear on him.
Because I did hear, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I did hear on, the post game with Rodgers, he did say that they like to keep him between 20 and 25 touches. Per game. That's with receiving or run, however it comes out. That's the target number for him.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good number. I mean, obviously, he's just a weapon at the end of the day. So, as many chances or ways you can get the ball in his hands would be, it is what you want to do. But I mean, strictly put him in the backfield, have him grind out. There are a couple. There are just a couple just run plays that. I mean, that can really just take a toll on a back, and just all those hits and the guys leaning on you and falling on you. I could see, especially for, a back of his, his size.
Pro Bowl voting came out. Packers tweeted out that you are leading in the Pro Bowl voting currently. Big deal to you one way or the other, fan voting for the Pro Bowl and going back again?
Flattered, sure, yeah.
See, this,
yeah,
this
I like
is,
that.
But see, this got a man.
No, I man, like but look, guy. I just want to flattered. Point something out, and then he can get mad at me.
Win a Super Bowl, cuz.
He can get mad at me if he wants. I just think, like, these all-star games and NBA, MLB, and the Pro Bowl, I mean, they're nice, and if it's a great warm weather location and you can take a little vacation after the season's done or whatever, that's great. But really, at the end of the day, it really is still all about, for you in football, it's still about the Super Bowl, and that's a nice little side gig if that ends up happening if you're not in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think, if I have to say my two cents on the Pro Bowl's really just turned into a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's different than what it was back in the day. And it, honestly, for me, I feel bad saying this, but the credibility of it isn't there like it used to be. And I think it devalues the guys who came before us because it was more of an honor to go, where now it's, who's the best promoter.
What about the game itself when you're playing it? Because that's the one area where, fans and media have been super critical as far as the effort given in those games.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You want to play, but what is there to play for? It's strictly an exhibition game. So then you're talking about some of these extremely high-profile, you know, cream of the crop athletes in that sport. You know, they don't want, like, what is there to play for? And the last thing you want to do is get hurt in a game that's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we're getting paid or salary or that. It's so that's why I think, you know, I think that has helped transition it. But you talk about guys who came before me in my time. I mean, remember when I first got in the league, it was a very big deal for these guys for, you know, after their career and all that. And now, like, I look at it and I'm like, man, the only way I see it of any bit importance is, you know, certain guys have bonuses in their contracts if they're a first ballot Pro Bowler.
Well, and to David Bakhtiari joining us here, a three-time All-Pro on the Wendy's Big Show, and that's really the one. David, how much more does that mean to you, knowing as an All-Pro, when you get that honor? There's a difference because those are based solely on the recognition of the guys that you're going up against and competing with seemingly week in and week out, right?
Yeah, you know, I think the All-Pro honors have pretty much stayed consistent with its credibility. I don't think it's really wavered through its time, and it definitely means a lot. And it's they're very selective. There's not mm-hmm. a bunch of guys that can get a chance to go to get the exposure. It's like, hey, we're gonna put two names out there. That's it. And I mean, for me, when I first you know had gotten my first All Pro, I was extremely honored. I was taken back by that, and that's something that really for me that, you know, personally, that I will always make sure that I strive for, because it, you know, holds that credibility and something that I can look back and say at the end of the day, you know, it still, you know, stood the test of time.
Hey, I had a chance to hang out with your guys up in the alumni suite on Sunday. That'd be TJ.
Oh, yeah? Josh TJ.
Yeah. So, did you see him? I don't think. Were you out there when they introduced him?
No, I wasn't, but I did hear about what happened after. They actually told me when I saw him after the game.
Yeah, so did you know they were going to chug a beer or no?
No, not at all.
Because I thought they were doing that just to toast to you or something like that. I'm not sure.
No, but I mean, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, you got to be proud.
Except I did hear that, like, the media, whoever was, you know, working the cameras, they like panned away from them.
Yes.
I guess they didn't want to show it.
Yes.
What is that?
Come
yes.
on.
I have
soft.
Okay, I want to talk about it. If that's the reason.
Yes.
Let's dive into this.
Get into it.
Get into it.
So the NFL is partnered with liquor, specifically
mm-hmm.
beer.
Yes.
And promotes it
yes.
for commercials for everyone to see on TV.
100%.
And no one has really an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
No one has an issue with it showing up at games and even selling it to people.
Oh, yeah.
And selling it to fans. But the media and fans absolutely freak out when a player wants to drink a beer and be a fan and promote and do things that pretty much anyone else that is above the age of 21 can and is allowed to do, and that's condemned. I have such a hard time understanding that.
Well, see,
especially
I don't
when it comes to the Packers. I thought that was an awesome thing, and particularly for offensive linemen, like that is awesome.
That's what you're supposed everywhere. To do. You're supposed to yeah. be able to house players.
I don't know if it was now. I don't know if it because I was with some of the media types at some point. They were all upset. Well, I know local media was all upset that it wasn't shown on the camera because we couldn't see it on. All of a sudden they show them come out and then they high five each other. They go in their pocket and felt like once television realized what they were doing, they expanded out. So I don't know if it was a television thing, but I'm saying local media print guys, they were radio guys. They were upset that they didn't show it all. I mean, this is Wisconsin, dude.
So yeah. Again, so who's at fault for doing that? Is it the NFL or is it the Packers? Like I don't know who's in charge of the cameras. But then again, my question is, why is it an issue to begin with? If it is the NFL, well, they're one of their business partners and promoters is the actual well, distributor of the alcohol, which is beer, which is Bud Light.
Well,
like I
David, I got a conspiracy theory of it. Maybe they just didn't want Aaron to see it on the video because they saw how quickly and how cleanly an offensive lineman, TJ and Josh, how quickly they downed that thing, and they didn't want the quarterback feeling bad that he had to go halfway through and then put the finger up. Like, could that have been it? Maybe they just didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings because they weren't able to house like we are?
I will squash that because I can 99.88% guarantee you that that's not the reason. I have a couple other conspiracies that I think is the reason, but I don't want to say because I would love to show up tomorrow and work.
Yes. Yes. That's
so I'm going to do what I've been taught, which is I've said my piece. I've been very PC about it.
Yes.
I brought the issue, and I will let everyone else formulate their own opinions, and I will continue on.
That is a seasoned veteran. Veteran.
But it doesn't mean that I don't have an issue with it.
Right.
And there is no fault or there's no problem with me bringing up the issue.
Well, did you have a chance then to partake with the fellas over the weekend?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I saw TJ and Josh actually before we actually got the whole old offensive line, all five of us. We got together on a Friday night. With our wives and girlfriends, and we all kind of got around, hung out, let the women mingle, kind of talk, catch up, and then the guys, we kind of reminisced over the good times, talking about that 14 line, which by the way, I still will say I'm not done yet playing, but I don't want people forgetting about that 2014 line. That thing was extremely special, and that needs to be talked about later on down the road, long after I'm done playing.
It was a well-oiled machine, no doubt about that.
The things that line was able to do was very special.
Now, that four, just so people know, that 14 line consists of who?
It was
Start at left tackle.
I'll go from left to right. So it's myself, so David Bakhtiari, Josh Sitton, Corey Lindsley, TJ Lang, and Brian Bulaga. Arguably, the way you want to talk about it, you have five Pro Bowlers on that line, like old school Pro Bowlers, where it actually like meant something. And then even with that, you have almost three All Pros at their positions on that line.
Yeah,
two that actually got the credit for it, and then you can argue one of the other three positions. Guaranteed, you can argue one of them, and you can get that point across that they should have been an All Pro. So then you have those, kind of respected ranks across the line. And what they're all of them are known for is their pass protection, and then you have Aaron doing what he's able to do. Like that's special. That's stupid.
Well, you guys also had five houses up front, and then a house in the backfield, and Eddie Lacy running through the lanes that you guys were opening up. You guys had to open up twice as big a holes because Eddie was rolling through there.
And the best part, people don't even think about this: our number three wide receiver was Devontae.
Right. That's how loaded you were.
Yeah, and because you had Jordy, prime Jordy, and you also had prime Randall, both with 1,000. I think they had both had 1,000 yards receiving.
You know, that guy, just speaking of David, Eddie Lacy, I love that guy a lot. I just don't think you guys even used him enough back then, though. I mean, that guy was unbelievable.
I mean,
for 2 years.
Times. I mean, he was drafted in my draft class, so, I was close to him from the get. He was awesome. And the best thing that I'll say about him that a lot of people don't know is every day he came in, regardless of what was going on outside of football, he always had a smile, always was laughing, and just genuinely he just enjoyed to play the game. Like, he'd be laughing when he'd truck a guy, run him over, spin move, and he just loved running the football. That was he was special, too.
Yeah.
He was an awesome teammate.
No, he was. Hey, so where are we at? How close are we to getting there with the offense? Where are we at? How with the continuity? Everybody on the same page? I mean, I'm sure it's a work in progress. How close are we?
I mean, we're extremely close. It's just kind of getting a couple things aligned. I mean, I think you've seen what happens when the offense is clicking. Like, we've done it before in the season. I think obviously people have questions. We've been leaving, points out there and sputtering out drives. It's just a lot of little things. The good thing is that it's little things. It's not big things. So if it were big things that we'd have to reinvent the wheel type stuff, we would be, that's an issue. That's something that's not gonna be fixed overnight or in a week. But when it's just little things, little tweaks here and there, like, hey, we got to do this better, we got to do that better. This guy's got to be on the same page. We got to do better on just the on-field communication with that.
because
that gets fixed, yeah. that gets fixed, and you know we're right back to where you know we're you know sitting out our you know Hall of Fame quarterback and our 10-year vet at tackle when we played against the Oakland Raiders.
Maybe that's what you're alluding to, because at 14-0, I mean, I thought you guys were going to blow them out, and then it just felt like you just lost something. I mean, like you couldn't get it back, and it was gone, and it was just weird. I mean, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when it comes to that, if I had all the answers, I definitely would say not get it fixed. But like the one thing that I can say that I feel and that I know is that, you know, after watching this, it's just a lot of little things. And
is it really?
That's the good part. Is it's not a big thing. It's not a big issue. We're gonna have to go like, hey, we just don't understand this concept. Hey, we don't understand this play. It's more just like, hey, you know, little communication here and there, aiming points. You know, I can't speak on like routes and stuff like that.
Right.
But you know, when in terms of like run game, you know, like aiming points for either the offensive line or for the running back, and it's just, you know, a couple times just like a little miscues, because a lot of things we do is very, you know, deceptive within formation. And then a couple of things too, you know, because there's a lot of things happening, and this is on us, and we have to get addressed. And I had kind of like, I guess I want to say the yips early was the false starts, you know.
We
nip this in the buck, because it's a dangerous weapon using Aaron's cadence, but there's so many things we're thinking about and so many different, like at any point in time the play is flipped. I think people are forgetting about what the snap count's on. And I'll be honest, I was at fault of that in the beginning of the year too. And that was, you know, it was tough. You know, new system, new plays, multiple plays, you know, changing of your blocking scheme. And you have to worry about the cadence, and Aaron's a magician with the cadence. Sometimes you kind of forget that his dummy count sounds identical to his actual count.
And that's why it's such a good dummy count.
Hey, exactly.
Hey, so I don't know if you saw this piece or not by Tom Pelissero sitting down with Mike McCarthy yesterday. It was on social media and then obviously on the NFL Network. And McCarthy and Jim Haslett and some of these other guys all getting together seemingly every day, going over different stuff in the National Football League, and he's getting ready for his next chance to be a head coach in the NFL. Can you talk some about McCarthy and what he would bring to a team when he gets his next head coaching job?
Yeah, absolutely. Toughness. That's like the first thing that really jumps out when you said what he'd bring to a football team. A culture that's going to be tough. You know, he brings up his hometown, Pittsburgh, a lot. And, you know, I know that he's the type of guy that can go into an organization and fix what they have, that their issues that they have going on over there. I mean, I can't say enough nice things about him. He was phenomenal when I was here. He was the first person to let me know that he wanted me to stay around here and that we should get a second deal done. And that was so that I'm very appreciative when it comes to him. And, you know, even though and I think the film kind of, his little clip that he had on that was out there kind of showed it. You know, he does have a tough exterior, and I talked about toughness is the first thing that jumps off the board. He's a guy that you can still talk to, and, you know, he has that emotional side as well.
Yes.
I think that just shows, you know, the type of well-roundedness and his sheer just passion for the game.
Yeah, and I was talking to the guys. We did this fundraiser with him. He does it with a lot of former players. He has an event in Madison. I think it's called American Family Children's Hospital of Madison, and he was the co-chair for that. He'd do that event every year. And listen, David, he would almost cry every single time because he was so passionate about and so emotional about what he was doing for children and getting them better and help raising money. I mean, if people don't know him, that's the kind of guy he really is.
Yeah, family's very very important to him, very special to him. And, you know, he treats and looks at his, you know, at his entire football team as a family. And that shows you kind of how important that is to him, so that those emotions, you know, do come up. And that has happened. I've also seen him completely fume. You know, I can see fume coming out of his ears and his face almost turning purple. You know, the guy's got raw, real emotion, you know, that is contagious.
Talking with Packers three-time All-Pro left tackle David Bakhtiari for just a few more minutes here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM. The Fan. David, it is Bear Week, and I know Mike always talked about how important this rivalry was in the history of the NFL, the history of the Green Bay Packers. What does Bears-Packers mean to you?
Buckle your chin strap type game. Regardless of whatever the records are on either side, there's going to be big hits. It's a historic rivalry, and this game has implications, playoff implications on both ends. So, it's going to be one that is going to be physical, hard-fought, 60 minutes, four-quarter battle.
Do you guys think about it as they were able to knock out you guys in the playoffs, you can knock them out this week as well?
I didn't know that, but if that is, good.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. We're going to be down with a bunch of people from Chicago this weekend on Friday, so we need a little bit more fuel. It's been a little bit too nice in our standpoint, so we want to make sure that you're not as nice to 52 and company on Sunday.
No, you don't have to worry about that. It's kind of embedded in me.
That's David Bakhtiari. Go knock those Bears out of the playoffs, and we'll talk next week, all right?
Sounds like a plan. Take care, guys.
Yep.
Thanks, man. That's David Bakhtiari joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM. The Fan, if you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Guys, I want to tell you about a special deal going on right now today at... What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, David Bakhtiari brought to you by Steins. Experience the season at Steins for the best selection of fresh-cut Christmas trees and holiday gift ideas. Steins, making the holiday magic happen since 1946.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.